Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the final countdown of the 2012 election, not in Florida, but in Arizona, where final results will not be in until Friday. Jeff Biggers, author of State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream, joins us. We will discuss blatant voter suppression by Arizona's older white Republican establishment and their brazen attempt to disenfranchise 600,000 new and mostly young Latino voters who were sent to the wrong precincts, then issued provisional ballots that are still being counted by these same election officials. Then we'll examine the culture of scandal consuming Washington, with prominent officials becoming object of salacious media coverage as their careers are ended and judged on sexual peccadilloes rather on their performance in office. Veteran investigative journalist Mark Feldstein, the author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture, joins us to discuss the politics behind this latest sexual soap opera with military groupies fighting over which general they can seduce. Then finally, we'll get a less than flattering portrait of General Petraeus from Colonel Douglas McGregor, a decorated combat veteran who, during the Gulf War, led the largest tank battle since World War II. We will discuss the so-called surges in Iraq and Afghanistan and whether General Petraeus is the heroic figure and battlefield game changer that the press and politicians have portrayed him as. Joining us now is Jeff Biggers, the American Book Award-winning author of several books of history and memoir, including The United States of Appalachia in the Sierra Madre and Reckoning at Eagle Creek, which received the Sierra Club's David Brower Award for Environmental Reporting. He was raised in Tucson, Arizona, and his latest book just out is State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. He writes regularly for Salon and the Huffington Post, among other publications, and performs monologues based on his work at theaters and festivals. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Biggers.
Thanks for having me back, Ian.
And your new book, State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. The final showdown over this election is going on in Arizona, and Wednesday is a key day. After Wednesday, these provisional ballots, hundreds of thousands of which were given out, will be invalid unless people get them to the polls. There's huge backlogs of voting, counting, and I guess they're checking as well. This does seem like somehow, you know, the grumpy old white men are just trying to, eke out some revenge against these Latino upstarts who have the temerity to vote.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not only the final showdown, it really is the final countdown, as you say. You know, we had a record early Latino voting this month, Ian, and everyone was quite excited just to see the enthusiasm in the elections. You had several organizations, citizens groups, groups of youth who did amazing work to register tens of thousands of new voters. When those tens of thousands of new voters went to the polling booth, suddenly they didn't find their name on the registration ranks. They didn't find their name anywhere. They hadn't been contacted. They were given these provisional ballots. Nearly a third of the polling places actually were reduced from the 2008 election, so the lines were incredibly long already. It just seemed like a series of dubious obstacles that had been thrown at the Latino community precisely the same year when we thought there was going to be a record turnout. So I would agree with you. There are so many red flags being thrown up right now that I feel like we need some sort of investigation, no matter what the outcome will be, an investigation by either Department of Justice or some sort of legal entity.
Well, Jeff Biggers, it seems a lot of it's focused on Maricopa County, where, of course, the infamous Sheriff Joe Arpaio reigns over the place in a kind of feudal way. He's, of course, on the ballot, too. Now, a lot of the people on the ballots have had to revise concessions, including the Democrat who ran for the U.S. Senate, Richard Carmona.
It
looks like he was 78,000 votes behind Jeff Flake, the Republican, but there's something like 600,000 votes yet to be counted. Is that right?
Well, yes, statewide, 600,000. I think they're getting closer now, more to 350,000, 400,000.
Right.
He's polled within less than 4 percentage points right now. Richard Carmona, who is the former Surgeon General, who is running for Senate against Jeff Flake. And so that's really within the margin of error. And if you're talking about a state, where nearly a quarter of the ballots were not counted, I think we're talking about a potential outcome we really can't call yet. Arpaio's race, on the other hand, still seems to be a little bit out of reach. He's now about 7.5% ahead of his closest challenger, Paul Pinzon, a retired police chief there, a policeman there in Phoenix. So that race still might be out of contention. But definitely the U.S. Senate race with Carmona hasn't been called yet for many reasons. It's still in contention right now.
And again, I'm speaking with Jeff Biggers, who was raised in Tucson, Arizona. His latest book just out is State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. Now, the woman who was elected to the U.S. Congress, we have, of course, Senator Tammy Baldwin, who's referred to as the first openly gay United States senator. There's also a Democrat down there who's she's referred to as our first bisexual congressperson, right?
Right.
And she's squeaked in as a result of a revised count, hasn't she?
Right. In fact, it looks like we have the possibility of even having a Democratic majority in the House races in Arizona now. Kristen Sinema is the person who identifies herself as bisexual. She'll be representing this new district that largely is Tempe, and that's the student campus district of Arizona State University in that area. It was part of this redistricting plan that I think the Democrats had high hopes. So she pulled out a very close race against a Tea Party Republican. And also in the eastern part of the state, Ann Kirkpatrick, who formerly had been in the House, she's sort of a blue dog Democrat. It looks like she's eked out her race as well. So she'll be a Democrat representing the north, the southeastern part of Arizona. And then, of course, in Tucson, you have Raul Grijalva, who's a very progressive member of Congress, was easily elected, and Ed Pastor, who's a liberal centrist out of Phoenix and Tucson, and he easily was reelected. And then the final race, the fifth race that we haven't been able to call yet, is the position of Gabby Giffords that was taken over by Ron Barber. Of course, he won the interim race, and it's really neck and neck down there in Pima County whether or not he's going to win. But he's right at this moment. He's a few hundred votes ahead.
So, Jeff Biggers, this is all to do, at least in my assumption, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is all to do, isn't it, with this get-out-the-vote effort on the part of these young Latinos, high school kids, who went out and registered thousands and thousands of new voters. And I think it's quite poetic in a way that young kids are not even old enough to vote were able to pull this off.
Right. It was an amazing group called Promise Arizona in Action. They were teenagers, but also college students. And it was actually more than a dozen organizations within the state, all of them who were mobilized for various reasons as citizens groups, as people who were responding to both the outrage of SB 1070, the punitive immigration law, responding with their outrage to someone like Sheriff Arpaio, represented Maricopa County, but I think also representing a tremendous sense of enthusiasm about the electoral process itself. I think you're saying it is very poetic, and it's quite true. It reminds me, of course, as a historian, of what happened in the 1970s. Arizona was in the headlines in 1972 for a very egregious anti-migrant worker bill. We actually, once again, states were trying to copycat us with a law that said migrant workers couldn't have any strikes or boycotts during the harvest. Cesar Chavez, who was an Arizonan, came back, and he began the same process of registering new voters. In fact, he organized a registration drive that gained over 150,000 new voters that ultimately led to the election of Raul Castro, the Arizona Raul Castro, as governor in 1974. So there was a direct link between this kind of drive for new voters and an impact in the elections. And I think that's what we are awaiting for this year, and I think that's part of the shock and awe and dismay at these elections, is that while the rest of the nation was able to see the incredible surge of Latino voters in the very ground zero front lines of the immigration battle in Arizona, I think a lot of people feel like ultimately they've had their elections completely derailed. and their hopes and aspirations for democracy completely derailed by what clearly is a thinly veiled version of voter suppression, or at least voter derailment.
So let's talk about that, Jeff Biggers, the mechanics of how Arpaio and the officials in Maricopa County and other parts of Arizona have tried to thwart this get-out-the-vote effort on the part of Latinos, inspired and energized by these young high school and college kids. So what they registered a bunch of new voters, but when they went to vote, they were given provisional ballots. Is that what happened? Tell us what happened down there.
Yeah, essentially, there are many different sort of obstacles that happened. One is, due to the redistricting, a lot of people were in different ballot areas and polling stations. And there was confusion there that hadn't really been clarified by the recorder's office. At the same time, with these tens of thousands of new registrants, they got to where they thought they were supposed to go for their polling stations. And, of course, a very important little detail is the Maricopa County's recorder's office actually had sent out two erroneous statements saying that the election in Spanish was going to be on November 8th, when, in fact, it was November 6th. They tried to correct themselves, but, in fact, they made the mistake in other places. And they said that was just a harmless mistake they didn't mean to make. But, once again, it raised so many red flags of, why is this happening right now, particularly in a moment in history when you have this incredible surge of Latino voters? But to go back to our voters here, tens of thousands of new voters, they go to their voting poll, and their name is not on the list of registered voters. And therefore, they're handed what's called a conditional provisional ballot and says, hey, fill this out with the proper ID, and then we'll take it back and we'll check it against our records. And if you indeed are there, we'll count your ballot. So that's what these kids are doing now. We have an entire week of action that I've been covering there in Phoenix. It's going to culminate with a massive rally on Thursday. The final count is supposed to take place on Friday. So it really is a matter of days to legally all these ballots must be counted. But I think the big concern is whether some of these provisional ballots might be thrown out because for whatever reason they're not going to match up with the people who had registered.
So who are the people in the county recorder's office there in Maricopa County and other places? Are these white, you know, I referred earlier to this being a struggle between grumpy old white men and up-and-coming young Latinos who have a taste for democracy. So give us an idea about how the battle lines are drawn here. Is this really as racial and racist as it appears to be?
Right. You would like to think it's not, right? I think we're desperately trying to play this for what it is as a factual thing, but it's hard to avoid the obvious reality of what's taking place when so many of the provisional ballots are in heavily Latino voting districts and they're not in other districts in the state. You know, obviously there are provisional ballots everywhere, even in Los Angeles and Florida and Ohio. And this is the kind of situation, provisional ballots were it was something that was created to help people who had been disenfranchised. But here, suddenly, we're seeing a ridiculous amount, not only statewide, but particularly in Latino areas. And therefore, I think you do have to call into question, are Latinos once again being signaled out for some sort of racial profiling or discrimination? You know, Joe Arpaio is already under investigation by the Department of Justice for what they categorize as the worst cases of racial profiling in American history. And so here you have these political appointees, people like the recorder who are in office, who are Republicans, who are trying to play it by the book, but who, of course, are part of a system that has an incredible legacy of voter suppression. You know, any of your listeners who go back to the 1960s and 1970s recall the incredible role that former U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist had in Phoenix. He cut his teeth as an attorney by going after black and Latino voters at the polling stations in Phoenix in the 1950s and 1960s. He was infamous for his role in voter suppression. And in fact, the feds have always been involved in Arizona's elections because of this legacy of voter suppression. So to think that somehow we jumped to 2012, where we're in the midst of this incredible demographic shift, that suddenly we have new ranks of Latino voters, that there's not some sort of racial profiling to go on, I think would be incredibly naive. So I definitely would agree with you that we have definitely a case that has to be investigated in some way, as I said previously, by the Department of Justice, exactly for this very reason, for racial profiling.
And two, you have to add to this hall of shame with Arpaio and the county recorder, you have the governor there, Jan Brewer, the one who poked her finger derisively at the president of the United States. I talked to a reporter down there with the Arizona Republic some time back, and he said, "Well, don't you understand? She's as dumb as a box of hammers." But
right, and she's all your fault too, because she's from California and she was part of that California wave.
Oh my God!
Arizona's been attempting to send her back, and even worse is she just floated the balloon yesterday that she's considering running for a third term. You know, she didn't actually have a full first term when she took over the office when Janet Napolitano was sent off to Washington. Our Constitution says she can only have two terms, and yesterday Brewer just floated her balloon to see if maybe she might challenge that in the courts to possibly run for a third time. So certainly she's looking through those elections. But this is the issue, Ian, that I think we've talked about in the past. 80% of the grayheads in Arizona, these retirees, folks like my parents, they're Anglos, they're whites. And 60 to 65% of the youth are Latino or brown, as we say. And so we're in the midst of this huge demographic shift that's going to play out in the election box, and we know it. And Cesar Chavez prophesized about it, you know, 30, 40 years ago when he said, finally, the people who get elected are going to reflect the people in the community. And I think that ultimately is what people like Brewer and Arpaio and this last cabal of Tea Party people are terrified of, and I think that ultimately is what is at play right now in what clearly is an element of voter suppression in this final election, this final showdown or countdown in Arizona.
Well, but throughout the country, what was heartening about the response to voter suppression was that it seemed to have backfired. For example, down in Florida, people, you know, stuck in line for hours and hours, 7-8 hours. They refused to back down. Obviously, there's no excusing this broken system that we have, this broken electoral system. But is that same sort of emotion going on in Arizona, where people know that people are trying to stop them from voting, and God damn it, they're not going to put up with it, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had vigils every single night since the election. You had all sorts of leaders. One person I've been covering closely is Randy Pottas, who is the young labor leader who came over and led the recall of former state senator Russell Pierce. And Randy Pottas was very involved in the whole campaign against Arpaio. He's been there every day with his ranks. You have at least a dozen citizens groups, Latino groups, community groups, along with the youth who are growing and growing every day, who are holding out major vigils all night, who have set up camp basically at the recorder's office, who are once again planning this major demonstration on Thursday before the final tally on Friday. And so I think, we haven't seen the end of this. If anything, I think the backlash against this kind of racial profiling, the backlash against SB 1070, the backlash against Arpaio, is just growing and growing, and this adds more fuel to the fire to really encourage and enthuse new ranks of people to come forward. So I think, if anything, I think this is the beginning of an even greater shift that we're going to see in Arizona. It may not happen with this election, but certainly it's going to play out in the next year or two.
Well, just in closing, though, Jeff Biggers, the same people who have been suppressing the vote, these kind of atavistic white relics, if you will, they're the ones that are counting the vote, aren't they?
Yeah, technically, yes. And so, I mean, here's a true level of do we trust them or not? And I think you have people who are right there trying to monitor this, but ultimately it is in the hands of the recorder's office. And so, I think we either have faith in the system or we don't, in terms of people who are accurately counting the ballots before them. You think that there'd be some sort of legal means to eventually follow up and check if there's been any discrepancies. But I think that's what worries people. And I think that's, you brought up a very important point. On Wednesday is the final day for people who were given a provisional ballot, who had been sort of a challenge for proper ID or whatnot, to actually follow through and come down and make sure that their ballot had been counted. And that's an enormous obstacle that's ultimately going to have a lot of people fall through the cracks who are not going to be able to show up in time. And I think that's what we're worried about, is whether they're counting the ballots accurately or not. There have been so many obstacles, so many barriers, so many ways in which they can derail the vote, that perhaps the voting will go against the Latinos this time around precisely for that reason, beyond just the sheer counting of the ballots.
Well, Jeff Biggers, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Jeff Biggers, the American Book Award-winning author of several books of history and memoir, including The United States of Appalachia, In the Sierra Madre, and Reckoning at Eagle Creek, which received the Sierra Club's David Brower Award for Environmental Reporting. He was raised in Tucson, Arizona, and his latest book just out is State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. He writes regularly for Salon and the Huffington Post, among other publications, and performs monologues based on his work at theaters and festivals. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the scandal culture consuming Washington.
Dame, 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 dame todo el power para que te dé.